Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 27. I'm Rob Wright, editor of Search Security, and I'm here with my site editor, Peter Loschen. Peter.
Hi, Rob.
Glad to have you here.
Always good to be here.
We should note that we are recording this not on our usual Friday afternoon. Today is Monday, the 14th of November. So we have some information, some info to discuss regarding the Yahoo data breach, the Yahoo mega breach. It's being called a mega breach, probably with good reason. Whenever a company comes out and says that at least 500 million accounts, customer accounts, user accounts have been exposed, I would say that fits mega.
That's more than mega. That's mega being a million. We're halfway to giga.
Yeah, and obviously, I think we might have mentioned this in the first podcast that we recorded about the Yahoo breach, that there's speculation that maybe as high as a billion, which is not good. And, you know, there have been other data breaches. You know, LinkedIn was a huge data breach. And we, in fact, we just discussed this morning sort of the adult friend finder network breach. I think a total of 400 million user accounts, I think.
That's a lot.
And that was bad because, well, I don't know how much we want to get into this, but, you know, from what we understand of that breach, from the research, the information that's come out about the adult friend finder breach, that was more than 400 million accounts, and it was plain text passwords and passwords protected by the SHA-1 algorithm, which is to say, not protected. You read my mind.
Yeah, no, I was gonna do the air quotes around protected because SHA-1, and in fact, within a very short time from finding out about the breach and people playing around with the quote unquote protected data, 99% or more of those passwords are now no longer protected.
Yeah.
Clear.
It's sad. And yes. Did you write something, a quick sort of tangent before we get into the latest on the Yahoo, but did you do something on the SHA-1 algorithm?
That's sort of been in my area the past year or so. And I know Microsoft, Google, Mozilla, Apple, all of them have been more or less trying to push these things, you know, the SHA-1, the RC5, SSL, and so on. They're trying to push out those deprecated algorithms and protocols.
And we should note that they're trying to push out support, so end support for them. Not they're not using them internally that we know of.
Right. Not just not using them, but their products are
no longer updated. Accept.
Right. Yeah. Not only not accept, but flag as dangerous.
You are a risk. Risk and repeat.
Right.
I'm so excited to be here. You can tell.
We're all excited.
Thank you.
Always excited.
It's good to have you back in here.
It's
at,
good to
at
be
near
back
100%.
Here. Yeah, that's right. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so the Yahoo breach, not as bad as on the surface from what we know as the adult friend finder breach, because it doesn't look like they were using SHA-1. It doesn't look like they had unprotected passwords. But, I'll just go back. Like, let's do a quick timeline of events. Maybe that will help.
Oh, for the Yahoo?
Yeah,
sure.
So word started to emerge, reports started to percolate, you know, this summer, that Yahoo had been hacked, and that a hacker or multiple hackers were boasting that they had access to large troves of Yahoo user data. Now according to Yahoo, they came out in September, late September, and said a recent investigation, quote unquote, confirmed that info for at least 500 million accounts had been stolen. Info that included names, email addresses, telephone numbers, dates of birth, hashed passwords, the vast majority of those passwords were protected with bcrypt, and in some cases encrypted and unencrypted security questions and answers, which is not as bad as having plain text passwords or SHA-1 protected passwords, but still bad. And they attributed in that initial report or disclosure in September, they attributed the attack to the breach to a state-sponsored attack in late 2014. Now, they didn't disclose at that time whether or not they knew about the attack as it happened in 2014 and just didn't tell anybody. So there were a lot of questions about what went on within Yahoo. How did they just find out about, you know, a quote-unquote state-sponsored attack in late 2014 in, you know, September of 2016, two years later? How the two were connected, if the two were connected, lots of questions. Lots of questions about what went on. So the SEC, there was an SEC filing, a 10Q filing from Yahoo just last week. And this is where it gets interesting. So Yahoo goes on to say that they conducted further investigation. They did a review. I'm going to read a full quote here, or partial quote, from the SEC filing. They performed a broader investigation after looking into the hacker claims in July of 2016 that a hacker had obtained all of this Yahoo data, user data, and that broader investigation included a quote unquote a review of proper access to the company's network by a state-sponsored actor that the company had identified in late 2014. Now,
it's hard to figure. It's hard to parse. We can't really draw any conclusions.
Not from that state.
No.
Yeah.
And clearly, I think that the way companies start bandying about sophisticated cyber attacks by state-sponsored attackers, it's convenient to say that because then it's sort of like act of God almost. Act of God, act of war. Those are things that you have no control over. But I think we're going to start coming. I hope we're going to start coming to a time when companies accept responsibility for security
and offer some, I guess, better worded statements that have a little bit more clarity. Because I'll tell you, when I first read this,
mm-hmm.
I said, "Oh, that the company had identified in late 2014." I said, "Oh, that means that they knew about the attack in late 2014 when it happened." But other people have read this and said, "Well, no, when it says in late 2014, maybe that's not in reference to when they learned about the attack. It could just be about the attack itself."
Right, but let's not get crazy and try to read things in. Take it at face value.
Sure.
And I'll take it another step, and that is to say, if in 2014 Yahoo had come out with a statement saying, "We have become aware of a state-sponsored sophisticated attack against our users. Everybody, change your passwords right now and your security questions and answers." As opposed to whatever it is that they decided to do internally, which we can't speak to, but if they were aware of it in 2014 and they chose not to disclose it,
that's bad.
How much worse is that?
That's
than getting completely hacked 2 years ago and coming clean about it? Obviously, we've had this. We've had a comparable conversation about a lot of things in this room over the last 27 or so episodes.
Yeah.
It's not the bad act so much as the cover up,
or the response. I guess the lack of response.
Right. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes, we can all agree that maybe what they meant to say, what they really meant to say, was that we had indications as far back as 2014 that something was going on, but we didn't really, it didn't look bad, and all of our experts told us it wasn't, yeah, and so we ignored it.
Yeah, well listen, I'll keep going. Okay, with the SEC, please. SEC, yes. Filing, because it's a little confusing. So the filing goes on to say Yahoo is, quote, investigating, among other things, the scope of knowledge within the company in 2014 and thereafter regarding this access, the security incident, the extent to which certain users' account information had been accessed, the company's security measured, and related incidents and issues. Now, when they say this access, they're referring to the network access from the state-sponsored attacker in 2014. When they refer to the security incident, they're talking about confirmation in September that passwords had been stolen. So two different things. Obviously, they're connecting them, but it's the way they word it is, okay, so are you saying that you definitely, that someone definitely did know? And it, according to, you know, Mike Heller, senior reporter, Search Security, we have some information from a source that is sort of familiar with what's gone on, and it's very unclear. It seems like they, you know, a source familiar with the matter said that the special committee that had been formed to look into this further, to conduct a sort of a deeper, broader investigation, found that, quote, somebody at the company knew something in 2014 relevant to the state-sponsored attack, relevant to the state-sponsored actor having accessed the system, you know, Yahoo's network, end quote. But the source said that they didn't know, the committee did not know who it was, how many people it was, who they were, what information they knew, and if it was shared with anybody. I mean, that's bad. I mean, we're not talking about 10 years ago. We're talking about 2 years ago.
Right.
Right. You know who was on your staff. You know that Alex Stamos was the CISO. Alex Stamos, who we've discussed, you know, there was a great New York Times piece, sort of follow up to the News of the Yahoo breach, that looked at how the InfoSec team clashed often with the Yahoo executive management team, and how the security team, they were referred to as the paranoids, and they wanted to institute simple things that are not paranoid, like mandatory forced password resets in the event of a data breach and data exposure or whatever, a breach that could put customer data in the wrong hands. And the management team pushed back. And so now, you know, Yahoo says the investigation is still ongoing, but it certainly seems, and maybe I'm wrong, Peter, but I'll let you weigh in here, it certainly seems like they're maybe not coming out in the most forceful terms and the most, you know, clear terms and admitting this, but it seems like they're pretty sure that somebody knew about that network breach in 2014, and like when it happened or soon after it happened, and for whatever reason, the customers were not notified.
Well, it sounds like people within Yahoo might not have been notified as well.
Right. That is a great point. Like you don't form a special, you don't go from a forensic investigator to a special investigation team to a special committee and elevate stuff like that if you're sure that it was just isolated to one or two people. Or, hey, we just missed this, and we just found out about this 2014 attack in 2016. This seems like...
Yeah, it's not a good look. And one of the things that, one of the things that comes to mind is, you mentioned the escalation from, you know, from one level to the next level to another level. Down at the bottom level, there's people that have jobs, and they're just doing their job, and the guy at the bottom probably turned over a rock, or the man or woman at the bottom turned a rock over, found something, called their supervisor in, said, hey, what about this? This doesn't look right. And that supervisor has to make a choice. it's fine, it's nothing to worry about, or it's something we need to escalate, or, you know, panic button time, run around and go crazy. But in general, if you want to keep your job, you want to keep things, you don't want to have this kind of thing happen on your watch. And I mean, we've seen before with Symantec, the certificate authority.
Oh, yeah.
That was last year, right?
I believe it was last year.
The Symantec management executives found out that there was some fooling around with certs that shouldn't have been done, and they went ahead and fired the people down at the bottom who were doing the work. Now, how far up did that go? Because you've got to say, if you're a manager, you've got to say,
yeah,
you're supposed to be responsible for the people that work for you and what
exactly.
They do. So, I mean, as long as we don't have norms for how to deal with cyber issues in the workplace and in business, and as long as we don't have formalized steps that are mandated to go through when you discover something, we're going to find people trying to brush this stuff under the carpet.
Because
if it's my last day at work, or if I'm taking retirement or something, you know, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to turn over the apple cart. That's not really in my best interest. But if the alternative to not turning it over is later on being called to task and taken, face the music, then yeah, I'm just going to do, my job is to enforce that norm of how to behave when you discover an attack. And of course, we don't know anything about other than what we read on the internet about and hear from our sources about what actually went on in Yahoo.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put any words in anybody's mouth or accuse anybody of anything. But
let me ask you a question. Does it seem like I look at this and I look at the timeline of events and I say to myself, well, I don't know how they would be able to sort of rebuild events to determine that happened in 2016. It just seems really difficult. I don't know.
Well, yes, I agree. I don't know either, but presumably they maintain logs.
Right. I mean, that's what I was thinking. Like maybe there was some type of intrusion detection system, or they went back, they looked at logs over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, and they said, oh, well, this. But then you would need more information to say, I don't know, that you would need more data to claim, like, oh, it's just definitely a state-sponsored actor, and they definitely got onto the network here. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I suppose it's possible, but
one scenario I can imagine, if they are looking at, if they get a threat threat information provider to look over their logs, and they can do a retrospective.
Yeah,
you know, 2014, maybe the source IP addresses were not known of some particular APT, and some of those may have been exposed over the intervening 2 years.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they can say, oh, well, look at this. Look what we found here. So that's a possibility. But ultimately, we only found this out right before Verizon was getting ready to put down some serious money.
I'm glad you brought that up.
To buy Yahoo.
Yeah.
I mean, if Yahoo wasn't trying to sell itself,
yeah,
would we have ever heard about this?
Yeah,
I mean...
I don't know. You want to give a company the benefit of the doubt, but at the same time...
And how long has Yahoo been trying to find a buyer?
A long time, yeah.
So...
That puts
another...
We don't want to accuse, but certainly it doesn't look good. And obviously Verizon has come out now and said, well, we're going to have to take another look at this. And with good reason. But let's turn to another aspect of this breach. This is interesting. This also came out in the SEC filing. So it's not just sort of more information about the timeline of events and possibly what the company knew and when they knew it. But there's an element here toward the end of the section on the quote-unquote the security incident. And again, the security incident refers to the 500 million user account breach. So there's a line here toward the end that talks about this is really bad about how a state-sponsored actor or an intruder believed to be the state's same state-sponsored attacker responsible for the security incident in 2014. Created cookies that could have enabled the intruder to bypass the need for a password to access certain user accounts or account information. So apparently, you know, in addition to all this stuff about the network breach in 2014 and the password exposures that they've discovered recently, they also detected that an intruder that they believed to be the same state-sponsored actor had gone in and was creating, you know, counterfeit cookies and hijacking sessions for user accounts, which is, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, Peter, how bad is...
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But...
A 9? An 8?
I honestly don't know.
10?
It could be... I'm going to say it's between 1 and 10.
Because I
don't want to go out on a limb.
Yeah, I'm ready to go Spinal Tap and turn it up to 11.
To 11, but the
I think that's a little too far.
But it's an interesting question because earlier we were talking about this a little bit this morning.
Yeah,
you know, and the question is, how does that work? How do you create a cookie like that? And I might have a possibility because. When you log into a lot of services, you have the option to click the button that says remain logged in from this computer.
Yep.
And if you do that, your cookie is set in such a way that presumably you don't have to pass your credentials over, which, I mean, sometimes I would rather not pass the credentials over but I also don't want somebody else to be able to do that for me and take my control of my system away.
Sure.
And as I'm sure all those 500 million or more, the owners of those 500 million or more accounts probably don't want that either.
Yeah. Well, John Bamanek, manager of threat systems at Fidelis Cybersecurity, he was quoted in the news piece that Mike Heller did on the Yahoo SEC filing.
Right.
Well, he had sort of a good description. I wanted to read it. That kind of echoes what you said.
Yeah.
He said, quote, I can log into my Gmail account once, travel all over the world, and every time I open up my laptop, Gmail will just open. This is accomplished by storing a cookie in the browser that never expires. Typically, once cookies are issued, they can be used to simply access accounts, and in some cases, even after the user changes their password, the authenticated cookies remain valid. This is very important, and I want to revisit this when I'm done reading this quote. Let me continue. Quote, while more details are required, this seems to imply that malicious actors collected a large amount of valid cookies and were able to remain authenticated to Yahoo. Now, that's obviously bad. Now, the authenticated cookies remaining valid. This very issue came up at the Cloud Identity Summit back in June, I believe, in New Orleans, where Ping Identity and other companies that are, you know, heavily invested in the identity and access management space had talked about this need to address the, you know, not just the password problem, but the session, you know, finding a way to secure sessions and not let them be completely unmanaged like this. And this is so bad, like to have a session that could be, so like I change my password on one system, but I have a cookie that does not expire. It never expires on another system that's trusted, but that system gets breached. And I've changed my password, but they still have the ability to go back in. I mean, that is so bad. That's a 10. I'm not saying that's what the attackers did.
Yeah.
But if they found out a way to do that, that is, oh man, that's, because that doesn't matter then that you. So let me sort of talk this through. It doesn't matter if Yahoo did come out in 2014. Let's say these two things are connected, the cookies and the network intrusion in 2014. If Yahoo came out after the 2014 breach and said, We've been breached. Peter, change your password. Peter goes in and changes. You change your password. Okay, but they are, those attackers had been on the network for some time, and they were creating counterfeit cookies. And they now you change your password, but they can still get into another system that maybe may have one of those cookies and just log in with impunity.
Yeah, I'm nodding my head.
You are nodding
in agreement. And yes,
my head's about to go scanners.
You no, not come on. I just did laundry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I won't say 10 or 11, but this is a pretty bad one.
Yeah. And you know, like John Bamanek said, more details are needed. We don't even know what, you know, I'm pretty sure Yahoo uses OAuth and OpenID. I don't know how they're used. I don't know how they generate their cookies. I don't know what they do to secure their sessions. Something that needs to be looked at further. But I'll tell you what is not a good sign in sort of researching the story and researching our podcast discussion today. When you put in Yahoo session cookie and five of the first, like, you know, seven or eight results are how to hack Yahoo session cookies.
that's not a good sign.
That is a bad look, man. And I wonder, like, I mean, that's the kind of thing, like, we talk about sort of the core ethos of the Risk and Repeat podcast, sort of, you know, discussing and shining a light on sort of repeated mistakes, the same type of errors, unforced errors that enterprise companies and security vendors keep making over and over again. I mean, that's something like that's got to be up there. I just, man, that's like I said, even if you do change passwords, to have those sort of unexpired cookies lurking around out there and have giving attackers the ability to create counterfeit ones that are just gonna, they're like a master key to just let you into a user's account. That's bad. And I will say this. I mean, looking at the cookie stuff, and I know I just said that, you know, five of the first seven or eight results are for hacking cookies, creating counterfeit cookies for Yahoo. But do you think that this provides more evidence that this is a nation state attack like Yahoo is claiming, or you still not sold?
Without any more information, I mean, they're not saying, they're not giving us any information at all other than, I mean, presumably I haven't been on the very tippy top of this story like you and Mike have, but without giving more, a little bit, even just a little bit more information to substantiate.
Substantiate, I like that word.
Yeah, I had to dig deep for that one. To substantiate the claim, I mean, if you're making an extraordinary claim, you should offer some evidence. I mean, it would be nice to have extraordinary evidence to substantiate an extraordinary
Overwhelming evidence.
Any evidence would be good, but we don't have that. They have reasons. They have good reasons to not want to expose their secrets. I mean, nobody wants all their secrets exposed, but at the same time, you know, transparency is better.
Yeah,
for a lot of reasons, like this, and yeah, it's easy to say. I think it's convenient and it's expeditious to say state actor, because that makes it seem, as I said earlier, it's like, you know, state actor. Well, what can I do against a state actor?
Right.
I can't do anything.
No one wants to get pwned by the crackers with attitude. Nobody wants to get pwned by the lizard squad.
No. No, nobody wants that. It's got to be a state actor.
It's got to be a nation state actor. Look, all the cool kids are getting hacked by the nation states. Don't want to get pwned by the teenagers. Yeah, I mean, I will say that I give the nation state claim a little bit more weight. I'm not totally ready to buy in, but the fact that these attackers didn't just steal the data and try to sell it, we have no evidence that they tried to sell it, actually.
That's true.
The original attackers, I mean.
Right.
All we know is that they took the data, and apparently, if this is to be believed, Yahoo's claim that the nation-state attack in 2014 and the cookie culprit, the cookie monster, are one and the same. You like that? Yeah. I mean, I got kids, so cookie monster everywhere. If they're one and the same, then that means that they were doing this for more than just a, oh, look at me, I got all these credentials, I'll sell them on the dark web. They wanted access to specific accounts, perhaps, and wanted unfettered, continued access to those accounts.
Okay, now you're selling me on the argument that it wasn't a state
That's what
actor.
I'm here for. I'm a persuasive arguer when I can get the words out.
Yep. No, I mean, that certainly makes sense. It also doesn't, there's all the other,
Yeah.
possibilities that it was done. Somebody did it. Somebody did it for, for another
Yeah,
party.
sure.
Somebody said, "Hey, get me all of those," so that it might have been sold. That still points more towards a state actor than,
Yeah.
or, some other APT that's
Yeah.
not necessarily a state but has backing of a state, or, there's all the possibilities. And as long as we're still in this early stages of the cyber,
The cyber.
we're gonna,
We should be prudent.
we're yeah,
Show
prudence.
some restraint.
Yeah, sure.
Wait for more information. Well, we will stay tuned for the next SEC filings, 10-Qs. I will say that we'll close on one last note from this filing. Yahoo said they disclosed in the 10-Q that as a result of the security incident, quote, we are facing at least 23 consumer class action lawsuits, and other lawsuits and claims may be asserted on, or sorry, may be asserted by or on behalf of users, partners, shareholders, or others seeking damages or other related relief, allegedly arising out of the security incident. So
Wow.
that's
Yeah.
that number's probably going to go up. So we will stay on top of this. I'm sure we're going to revisit this as more information comes out, but definitely the plot has thickened for the Yahoo breach. And the cookie stuff, I feel like we're going to hear more about that. And I feel like I was saying about session management, that's going to be a big issue. And if it's not already, it's going to be a big issue for 2017. That's just me. So
I agree.
thank you, Peter. Well, I appreciate you joining me for another edition of the podcast,
Always happy to be here.
keeping me level and calm. And yeah, it's good to have you back. And you're 100%. And as usual, I'm Rob Wright with Search Security. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Risk and Repeat podcast, and we will see you next time.